Hello and welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. This is our tactical debrief for West Ham United 1, Aston Villa 1. Delighted we've got Hannah on the show. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Glad I'm talking about at least one point today.
Big point as well. So we'll go in depth. We'll have a look at average positions, passing networks, we'll have a look at the stats. We'll go through still images. So a real in-depth look at the performance. But from Hannah's eyes, how was it?
It was, by the end of it, an absolutely horrible game to watch. Obviously, it just descended into slight chaos, didn't it, by the final whistle with three West Ham goals ruled out, including a last-minute potential winner. So it was not one for the faint-hearted. It had heart palpitations come the 105th minute or whatever stupid amount of added time it was. It really was quite a strange one because I thought that we started the game quite well. The opening 15 minutes, we had a lot of the momentum, and I feel like it sounds stupid and very obvious, but Villa are a team that as soon as they kind of have a lot of the ball, a lot of the possession, they just look like a different beast. I feel like when we dominate possession in any game, we look like the top four side that we know we can be. But as soon as like things start to swing the other way and we sort of lose control of games and possession swings the other way and we're conceding chances, I feel like heads start to drop a little bit and we just seem to get in a little bit of a rut. And that definitely happened in the sort of second half of the first half. And I was quite glad that it was just 1-0 at half time, because at that point, you know that we're going to have hopefully a shake up in the changing room, which did happen. We had the two changes at halftime, which I think were two that needed to be made. We were just so disjointed in that first half. We obviously tried to set up slightly differently. We started with the two up top, which has never worked. If we think back to Watkins playing with Danny Ings, it never worked, really, did it? Throwing John Duran up there was slightly questionable. So I wasn't surprised to see him taken off at halftime. And I do think the changes worked, maybe not, you know, instantly, but they definitely worked. Bringing Cash in, I thought, kind of rebalanced us a little bit at the back. We looked a little bit less shaky. He obviously then did another brilliant clearance in the second half and kind of showed why he can and should be started in this team a lot of the time. We really grew into it again. I think we were still struggling to break West Ham down. They probably had nine men in the box, didn't they? Just defending, which is what I guess they're good at. Perhaps the fans don't love that, but they are good at doing that a lot of the time. So we were struggling to break them down, and it did feel a little bit like the goal wasn't going to come. But a really nice move, actually, from Diaby and Zaniola. And we get level again. And at that point, I actually thought we might go on and win this. Obviously, it didn't play out that way. I was absolutely bricking it when we concede so late on. We have no luck at away at West Ham. I thought this is typical. But by the grace of whoever is out there in the footballing God world, it stays at 1-1. So I think it's a point earned, isn't it? I've done a lot of waffling there, but hopefully like the bigger picture is it's a point earned. We saw some not great signs, but then, you know, for the most part, we've shown that we have a little bit of grit left in us, despite suspensions, injuries, all sorts happening, games in the week where we're clearly still tired from. I think we've shown that we've still got something in the tank, which I think is what we needed to see this weekend. And it means that we've got a nice little rest now, haven't we, until the Wolves game, and we can reset and hopefully get one or two players back, which would massively help, because we do look a little bit tired now with a lot of these European games.
Yeah, we do. And when me and Justin did that match reaction yesterday, I came on air, my heart was just going... I actually think now my heart must know once a week it's going to go through an absolute battering. Like, that heart rate's just going up and it's just going, and oh God, you come off
not healthy,
sometimes.
Is it?
Nah, but you come off a game sometimes and you're like, man, like, you're absolutely knackered from what you've been watching. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like I've only just sat there watching it and Yeah, it's just absolutely mental. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through some of the stats now. And we've got a new little bit of a feature. It's coming from X-Value. So you're going to see more of this on the channel now. Once I get more into it and more of an understanding how it works and what to look out for more, we're going to really get to sort of get into like the nitty gritty of Villa's performances stats wise. And we're going to go in detail on player performances as well. So this is really, really in-depth stuff. So what we can see to start with in the top middle bit, we've got the goals, Villa 1, West Ham 1. We've got an XG from Villa of a 1.13, an XG of West Ham of 1.74. We've got 13 shots for Villa and 13 shots for West Ham. We go down a little bit now. We've got an XG on target. So Villa were at 1.3 and West Ham were at 2.2. And what you'll find is the bar, so the thicker the bar, if it's a full green bar, that is sort of a league best performance as well. So you're touching on the top bracket of Premier League games here. So the thicker the bar, the more and better that performance has been. So you can see when we get to possession, so 69.9% possession for Villa is one of the league's best possession stats going from this season. We've got a field tilt, which means you're going into that final third with the ball. Villa are at 68.4 and West Ham are only at 31.6. We've got a gegenpress intensity from Villa of 46.7 and a 42.9 from West Ham. 33 touches in the opposition box for Villa, 25 touches for West Ham. Villa passing accuracy of 87.9 and West Ham of 76.0 flat. You can see on the right-hand side that this is Aston Villa's passing network. You can see the little blurry green phase, and that's our heat map of getting into attacking areas. It's where we were most dominant in the game. But as you can see, the thicker the line is means that that pass has gone to that player a lot of times. Thicker means it's thicker. That one you can, thickest one you can see there is the most times that that ball has gone. So the thinner ones means that it's obviously a little bit less. So you can see Villa's network, you've got Pau to Moreno, you've got Longley to Carlos, and then you've got a good network with Konsa into Youri Tielemans, and then all nice little intricate triangles. West Ham's on the left-hand side is a little bit more width in their team. You can see number 19, Alvarez, coming, dropping, sort of helping those two centre-halves. And then number 10, Paqueta, everything comes off Paqueta, and not really much of a network between anyone else further forward of that, really. And then this is a nice little feature as well. The next one you can see the expected threat timeline. So Villa in the green. So in the second half, you can see those real long spikes and those real thick areas in there for a sustained period of time. But what I think is a good feature is you can see Villa's XG by the player as well. So non-penalty XG, Zaniolo, who scored the goal, had Villa's highest XG of 0.40. Then we had Konsa with his shot to their keeper at 0.34 and Leon Bailey at 0.18, as opposed to Paqueta 0.51, Antonio 0.43 and Koufal 0.36. We've got an open play XG. Villa's best player was Moussa Diaby of 0.36. So he was only on the pitch for 45 minutes. So that shows the impact that he had. And then we can see Kudus for West Ham was 0.39 as well. Expected threat through carries was Leon Bailey as Villa's highest. And expected threat with passes was Pau Torres at 0.17. And for West Ham, it was Emerson at 0.08. So what do you think of my new graphic, Hannah?
This is definitely one for the people that absolutely nerd out on the numbers behind football. I think it's really interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, like, I suppose for both of us, maybe you more so, being a little bit older than me, but I grew up without all the access to this data. And now it's just so interesting the way it kind of changes the way you a game. Like I said earlier, we definitely grew into it in that second half and dominated the ball. So I'm not necessarily surprised by some of those things. I think what West Ham did really well was their counter-attacking, and they were getting shots off, weren't they? whereas Villa were really struggling to break through. So I think that's probably explains a bit behind the different XG. But I think for the most part, you know, numbers are very good, but I like an eye test as well. And I think as much as, you know, Villa looked really good on some of them stats, I think it probably wasn't an amazing performance. But I think it's still reassuring that when we're not playing amazing, we have the numbers to back it up, if you know what I mean. You know, we're still controlling the game and having a lot of possession. So it's all interesting.
What I like to do is you see the eye test. So the eye test is what you see. And then when you start uncovering and having a look at the stats and passing network and average positions and going in depth and having a look at player performances, then that generally backs up what you're seeing on the football pitch as well. So I want to touch on a player now who I did a tweet after the Ajax game saying Diaby is going to have a big end of the season. He's come on. He's played 45 minutes yesterday. And he's had a massive impact on the game. We can see here his heat map. Partnered next to his mate, Leon Bailey. Their link up is just absolutely frightening. And he just put in a real big performance. And I thought he was very, very good, Diaby. If we just take a look at some of his numbers from the game, he'd got an assist, dribble attempts, 1 out of 2. 24 touches, 90% passing accuracy, 3 key passes, 1 out of his 2 ground duels won. Big performance, 1 big chance created, 1 out of 1 success on that long ball. You know, that's a lot of good work in 45 minutes. So are you starting to see now Diaby just coming to the party a little bit? Because his actual numbers this season aren't even that bad. When he comes on, he plays really well, and he's a big threat for Villa. So are you starting to see what I am?
I think so. I mean, if you go back to sort of probably the first 10 or 15 games, there was a lot of talk about Diaby and Watkins being this, you know, brilliant front two pairing in the Premier League. And I think at that point, it was definitely true. He just seemed to fade a little bit. He's always looked fit and he's always looked sharp. But I think what I perceive the issue to have been is probably a little bit of confidence and a little bit of being too selfless. There's been so many occasions where he's done all the hard work and then he's got into the box or just outside the area and he's tried to lay it off to someone, when you just think, shoot. We've seen the goals he can score. You know, his technical ability is brilliant. And I think he's perhaps just not had that bit of confidence, and perhaps that's come from he has been a little bit in and out of the starting 11 and trying to find his feet working with Bailey, which obviously we know can work, but at times hasn't. So we've known that the player's there. Like, he's clearly a very talented player, but he seemed to sort of drop a little bit in this like middle patch. But I'd say the last few games, like you say, I do agree, he looks sharp. He looks, the link up is working. I think some of the issue I've had with Bailey and Diaby playing together all the time on the right side is that sometimes I feel like they're too close together and they don't complement each other very well. But when they do, when it clicks and they're kind of doing the intricate passes and they're finding the space and they're making the runs, they're unplayable, aren't they? Because they're both so pacey. They've both got the technical ability with the ball at their feet. So we're starting to see some of the best of that. And then obviously when you bring Ollie Watkins into that equation, that front three, there aren't many better in the league. I'm going to say that.
No, so it's true.
I think, and the thing that Diaby will benefit from, I think, is minutes and just coming off the game against Ajax, getting that goal, you know that that's going to have done wonders for him. Coming on today and him getting an assist and knowing that he's had an impact on that game. I always talk about how much confidence I think is such a big factor for football players. I think they're inherently quite insecure people. And I think even Zaniolo is a great example of that. Again, a player that clearly has great ability, but I think just hasn't perhaps had his head in the right place. And that's had such a big impact on his football. So Diaby, Zaniolo, And I think if we go back even further, Tielemans, I think he was struggling at the start of the season from a mentality perspective. Again, a very talented footballer. He started to get a run of games. He was playing in the position he wanted to. He had a couple of good performances and he really settled into this team and he's been starting and playing so many more minutes. So I think it's, you know, a mixture of confidence and also having the right players around him to get the best out of him. But we really need a player like Diaby, especially in this running now where we're going to, again, be playing so many more European games and we're in the last bit of the Premier League season. We're going to need that little spark. That little spark is what gets you through games, and Diaby has that.
Yeah, super, super player, very talented. And here you can see his numbers, you know, he's top three in Villa attacking wise this season. He's got an XG of 0.30. Bailey's got an XG of 0.29. He's getting 2.41 shots per 90. And then you've got Bailey, who's getting 2.62. And expected assists is at 0.20. And then you've got Bailey at 0.32. So stats are really good. And it does feel like we are yet to see the best from him. But I think we can already see what he's capable of. And once it finally all comes together, then he's going to be some player for Aston Villa. So we'll go to the fun part of the episode now then, Hannah. And we'll have a look at the still images and we'll run through the main talking points. Set pieces is coming up. So I know Hannah in our chat is very, very annoyed at these set pieces. So let's get to that one. But first, handball or not handball?
God.
Right. I'm going to caveat some at first and say, is the hand in an unnatural position? I would say yes. But what that hand is actually doing, I don't think it is, because he's pointing to a player to either mark somebody or tell someone to go somewhere. So I'm a little bit torn on this. I'm not as sure as it's sort of like, yes, it is. What's your thoughts?
I think immediately in the heat of the game, I was like, Stonewall penalty. The issue is that the penalty rule, especially with VAR now, has gone so subjective. Like, it seems to change every week. Like, you've seen those get given before. I think, like you say, is it in an unnatural position? They seem to determine that as like if it's really far away from the body, which obviously it is. He's reaching out. But look at the range. For me, it's the range from which Bailey has taken the shot or the cross off his boot. So close to the defender there. So if it was me and that was a Villa player and we conceded that penalty, I know I'd be angry because I'd be like, it's just been shot right at his hand. How is he meant to move out the way? But I do understand at the same time that by the rule book, this whole thing about unnatural position, you would say that that is an unnatural position. I just don't think you can win. I think the rule is so subjective and we have been on the end of good decisions, of bad decisions with the handball rule. I just give up. I don't know. I think ultimately, VAR probably balanced itself out in this game because they had like three goals ruled out. Probably, yeah, I'd say rightly so. But I mean, us not getting what would probably have been a very soft handball penalty, I'm not going to really lose sleep over it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I played football, not to like a great level, but I always just felt like, you know, if you've moved your hand to the ball, then, you know, that's a clear penalty. Whereas I think in this instance, his hand's already there and he's been, do you know what I mean? I don't know. We'll probably get hammered in the comments, but I just feel like I'm a bit like you. If that was Villa, I'd be like, nah, I'd be fuming with it really. But so yeah, right then. So their goal, here we can see Tielemans sort of tackling one of their players. I think it might be Alvarez. And Tielemans loses out in this battle, which if we move on a little bit further, we can now see Tielemans' position here. And he's completely out of the game. And we do look a little bit exposed in that area. And then obviously we were defending quite narrow at this point. So I kind of was a bit okay with this because we were sort of making sure we were defending sort of like that width through there. So, you know, if that ball does go over to that area, we can get across and defend it better. But then it gets slightly worse in the sense of we're quite slow to get to this area. And then you can already see that the players in there are making up their space. And I know we're going to get on to defending set pieces, but this just feels like it merges into that conversation of how many times now have we conceded a goal where there's a player in the middle of our defenders that we just don't cover, we don't come across, we don't get in front. This is like a positioning problem because it feels like we've got Pau in here now who's trying to like step up but not step up and try and play him offside. But those two in the middle are a big problem, and we just seem to be just allowing players to just get a run on us. Are you as frustrated as I am?
I'm so sick of watching us concede from corners and crosses into the box, because I feel like that's every single goal that we're conceding at the minute. It might have been the Sky commentary during the game. I think they said that there's only three teams that have conceded more from set pieces in the league this season, which is really poor considering we're in the top four. Like, it's something that I feel like we were so good defensively last season when Unai first came in. And this season we've probably let quite a few more goals in than we probably would have liked. And it's the same goal we're conceding. It's a cross that's landing at the far post. And like you say, they're just getting a run on us. There's so many issues. I mean, the previous phase before this, we're not really getting out to, is it Koufal? We're not getting out to him. I don't know who is it Rodgers?
Rodgers.
So Rodgers is kind of last minute running over to him to stop the cross, obviously doesn't. And then you've got four players there, four Villa players against two West Ham in the box, and yet they still get in. And it's just so frustrating. It's the same goal. And I'm thinking, as interesting, as exciting as our attacking set players are, Austin McPhee also has a job to set us up defensively to defend a set piece, and what's going on, because we're just it's every week. It's like, how do we keep making the same mistake? It's the same goal. I feel like they're cheap goals. They're not coming from like really world class, you know, moments of play from the opposition. It's just so frustrating.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if you're having like 68% possession and you're conceding goals like this, then you're going to have big problems. That the one thing that I can't understand about this is, again, going back to when I play football, first thing you get told about is goal side. You be goal side, don't you? You don't allow a player that, you know, it's Antonio. Like, whatever you think of Antonio, he's a striker. He's a finisher. Yeah. If you give him a chance on a plate, he'll bury it. So, I kind of feel like we're focused on keeping a line, and we're not focused in getting in front and getting in front of our man and just being a bit aggressive. So really disappointing.
Probably on the offside trap, I think, sometimes, which has clearly worked very well from us. But yeah, the positioning is an issue. Look, that goal in the 90-odd minute that got ruled out, rightly so, again, comes from a cross into the box you see James Ward-Prowse stepping over that ball, your ticker's going, you think, right, this is it. All we've got to do is defend this last set piece. You can see from it, yes, again, doesn't matter because it didn't count. But the fact is they got in, and it's just so frustrating. Every time an opposition team now get a corner, I'm nervous that we're going to concede from it, and that's just not it's not sustainable if we want to be a Champions League team.
This is another one. What? So this is the goal that got ruled out. So this is basically Aston Villa setting up from a corner, right? So the ball's yet to be kicked. And I'm already looking at this and I'm thinking, we've got a problem here already. We've got a problem here with number 19. Nobody's marking number 19. This isn't Watkins marking 19. Watkins' first contact, even when we had Tyrone Mings, Watkins was always first contact. So if the ball goes anywhere around there, he's the one that heads it away. And then generally we'd have Mings in somewhere in there that would be the second player. So they're both zonal. They're both zonal defenders who are, their job is to clear it. We don't seem to have that anymore. We don't seem to have that second one. We've got Watkins as the front post, but we haven't got the second one in there. So what I'm trying to say is nobody's marking number 19 anyway. Watkins isn't that player that's doing that. And then secondly, Antonio on Martinez. Martinez isn't marking Antonio. So if you have a second phase in there, no Villa player is going to react and pick up Antonio because they don't know where he is. Not one Villa player has any idea where Antonio's going to go because they're all doing zonal. Yeah, they're all doing zonal. So you've got a couple of zonals in there anyway, probably Conce as a zonal. And there's another Villa one that's been blocked off by a Villa player. But it just feels like once that ball goes in the box and it's past that Villa player, then we just don't know where we're going with it. And I'll just look at that and think that there's a bit of a problem in there, to be fair. And I'm just not sure what happens, because once it gets into that congested area there, it was absolutely chaotic. And I know they didn't score from it, but we've just got to deal with these better. Like, it feels so cheap when we keep, like, conceding chances and et cetera like that. And, you know, we've got McPhee, and it just feels like, you know, with a set piece, the one thing I will say is that we don't actually know what they're going to do with that set piece. We have to kind of react to it somewhat so we can set up defensively how we expect them to. But after that sort of like first couple of goals a couple of months ago, I'd be thinking, right, we've got to hone in on this now. But it just seems to keep happening still. It doesn't feel like
we're not learning.
It's changing. No. Yeah. And I know I'm moaning about these set pieces and these goals, etc. But it's fine margins. You know, we've only got 9 games to go. And we've got to just make sure we're limiting sides to this, because we're actually quite good at not conceding goals from open play. There's not that many teams ever carve us open. And I just think this is an area that we can work on and definitely get better at. So, do you want to add anything on that?
No, I totally agree. It's like, it's easy for me to sit here and say, but it's such an easily identifiable issue. We know we're conceding a lot from crosses and corners and things like that, crosses into the box. That is a nice bundled up way to look at a problem. And we can be like, right, let's just focus on this. It's not like we're conceding loads of goals and goals from open play and we can't quite figure out what's going wrong defensively. It's just there. Like, and going back to your point of we're not learning from it, it's a fair criticism. It's not like we've got on here after one game and we're being fickle. It's a fair criticism because this is something that we're identifying over, I'd say, the season. It's poor. It's really poor. I think
I didn't realise that I've got this image, and this one's even worse when I look at this. Have a look at this one. So look, so this ball's
all
gone in.
Like, why are we behind more?
All Villa's players are behind every single West Ham player. And you've even got, if that goes to the back post, so if this goes back post here, the man here has got a little tap in.
Yeah.
So
bonkers.
Not good. I didn't even know I've got that. I don't know why I didn't look at it before I put it in there. But
I'm going to be lying in bed thinking about that tonight. It's like you say, we didn't concede because they gave a foul or handball from Antonio.
Handball.
But So, but on another day, they don't. He doesn't do that, and that goes in, and we concede another goal. And it's fine margins is the perfect thing that you said there, because this was a 1-1 game. That is the difference. So we've got to sort it out. It's a massive priority.
Yeah. Some positive stuff now. Now we've addressed that. So we've got a beautiful ball over the top from Youri Tielemans. Moussa Diaby is on his bike, and it's a beautiful pass that splits it. We've got Moussa Diaby's cross, and Zaniolo's starting position was out of shot. Yeah. And he runs and he gets in front of that. He shows complete desire to get in there, bury it. His eyes must have lit up when he saw that ball rolling across. And it's a great finish, and fair play to Zaniolo for that. And then finally, the drama of what happened at the end. Again, another set piece. We know what James Ward-Prowse can do. Puts it a really good delivery in there. And again, there's a scramble, chaos. We've got, again, so if we go back to the screen grab of that last set piece. So we've got number 15, back post, unmarked. We go back to this final one. We've got 15, unmarked, back post again. Mad scramble in there. Absolutely chaotic. I do think that he's a foul on Konsa in there anyway. And then, yeah, handball. 1-1. There we go.
The back post. Yeah.
We've just got to sort it out. It's got to address it. So
the thing is that when teams are analysing Villa's performances, they'll just see that we've got one very like obvious weakness, and and if they focus on that for a week in training, it's then so easy for them to capitalise on it. Do you know what I mean? It's not like we're a tough cookie to like figure out. We've got one like quite gaping issue, I'd say. So people will keep trying to exploit that, which is why I think it needs to be a priority for us to address. Easier said than done. I'm sat here. I don't know how to fix it. We have a set piece coach is what I'm saying, and he's paid to solve this
problem. And it's an international break, so hopefully we can be working really hard on it. So so that's the debrief. We've gone through a little bit of detail, showed where we're thinking needs improving for Aston Villa. In the comment section down below, let us know your thoughts. Subscribe to the channel. Drop a like if you've liked this episode. And do you want to add anything before we go?
No, I think let's enjoy 2 weeks just without stressing. We're in a great place. We're gonna come back fresh and last little push. Let's do it.
Let's all enjoy. Well, for you that support England, Southgate ball then. So we've got that to look forward to as well. So that'll be fun. Cheers everyone for watching. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.